Vic Risden had offered no excuse to his wife on that evening all those months ago. He'd simply told her where he was going and who with. Helen just had to understand that he was a good-looking, mature man who was fatally attracted to young women. So he and Nita Trowbridge had gone to a cozy little country inn for supper.
Well, Nita, enjoying yourself?
Vic, you know I am.
Happy?
I'd be happier if...
If what?
If I thought you didn't have to go back to your wife tonight.
Oh, Nita, honey, we can take care of that.
You mean divorce?
Well, honey, divorce is an ugly word. Why can't we go on as we are? What's wrong with the arrangement as it stands?
I guess I'm just being greedy. I want you all of the time.
You want dessert as well?
They finished their cozy dinner and went out to Vic's car. He didn't want to be too late home. Nita was fine for a while, but a man could have too much. Besides, he was getting a little bored with her. It was on the way home that the accident happened.
It was a wonderful evening, Vic. When will you call me?
Honey, I'm going to be tied up for the next few days. I may even have to be out of town.
I can't bear it if you don't call me.
Nita, take your arm away. There's a sharp bend coming up.
If you promise to call me tomorrow.
Nita, take your arm away.
I guess all those sweet things you've been saying to me were just so much hogwash.
There's a truck on the wrong side of the road. Nita, get down, get down!
Nita was fortunate. She got out of the accident with a broken arm and a few scratches. Vic wasn't so lucky.
Vic, darling, there's no need for you to despair.
No. How can I live like this?
At least you're alive, darling. And I'm here to take care of you. I'll always be here.
Oh, Helen. I don't know what I'd do if you left me.
You're not even to think about that. You'll soon learn to find your way around the house, and I'll be your eyes, Vic, darling.
Helen, with you beside me, I'll pull through.
And he meant it, too, at that stage. Helen was wonderful, and he was truly grateful that she was there to take care of him.
At least we shan't have to worry over money, darling. The trucking company's insurance agent was here earlier today.
Was he?
Mm-hmm. And they paid up handsomely. So you've got nothing to worry about.
Nothing. Look at me, Helen. I'm useless.
You're the tall, dark, handsome man I married, Vic.
What sort of a marriage will it be now, huh? An unsighted husband, an object of pity, not love. A husband who have to be looked after, guided, led around.
Vic, I won't let you wallow in self-pity like this. It's bad for you. I think it's time you started getting about again.
Oh.
Hmm?
A white cane. Help me across the road, kind lady. Where's the curb? Can you see me doing that?
Yes, I can, darling. And the first thing for you to do is find your way around this house. Well, not down into the basement, of course. I guess you won't be able to manage those stairs, but with a ranch house like this, it won't take long.
Gradually, he inched himself out of the morass of despond. It took time, of course, but Helen was there to help. Nita came to visit.
Vic, darling.
Nita?
Yes, it's me.
Where are you?
Right here.
Oh, darling.
I'll fix the drink, shall I?
I didn't know she was there.
Darling, what could be more natural for you than to put your arm around me? I'm here so close to you.
Oh, Nita, my darling. How can I bear not being able to see you?
You can feel me, can't you?
Martini's all round?
Blast.
It wasn't going to be easy.
You're doing fine, Vic. Now just walk over to the drinks table.
The drinks table? Now pass the big chair. Keep to the left of the radio cabinet.
Oh, just remember the magazine rack.
Oh, blast.
Oh, don't worry, darling. You're doing just fine. Only a few more steps.
Yeah, a few more. Five, wasn't it?
Uh-huh.
I made it. Helen, I made it.
You made it, darling. Okay, now you can do it on your own.
You're going out?
Oh, not out, just down to the basement. I've got some washing to do.
You're always washing.
Oh, nonsense, darling. By the time I've finished, you have made a complete tour of the living room on your own.
I'm at the drinks table. I turn around and make my way back to the couch. Careful of that magazine rack. Radio cabinet on my right now. Past the big chair. And there's the couch! Who's that?
Mrs. Cooley. May I come in, Mr. Rizzo?
Oh, wait a moment. Let me open the door for you. Door. Leave the couch on my left. Bookcase. Floor lamp. Hey, what do you know? I made it to the door.
Mr. Ridson, how good to see you.
Well, I wish I could say the same, Mrs. Cooley. Come in, won't you?
You opened the door yourself.
Not only that, I found the door by myself.
Oh, I think you are truly amazing.
Come in, sit down.
Honestly, no one would think that you were... Oh, I mean, well, here you are walking across your living room. Oh, careful.
No, blast.
Oh, here. Let me set that rack upright out of your way.
No.
I beg your pardon.
Set it exactly where it was before.
But you tripped...
Yeah, sure, I tripped over it. But next time I won't. If it's in the same place.
As the weeks went by, he grew more proficient. He gained confidence. Soon he could find his way over the whole house unaided. Except, of course, the basement.
Helen, where are you?
In the basement, darling.
Again?
I've got some things to rent out. Did you want something?
No, nothing.
Beck, there is something you want.
I told you nothing.
Oh, Beck, you don't have to talk to me like that.
Like what?
As if you're angry with me. I didn't mean to leave you on your own, darling. Oh, don't be angry with me.
Helen? Helen, something the matter with you?
I just can't get my breath.
Helen, don't get so worked up. Come on, here, lean on. Come on. That's it. Oh, I was a beast to yell at you. Forgive me, darling.
Oh, it's all my fault. Oh, you're just so good and brave. I'm the beast.
Helen had these spells fairly frequently after that. She had high blood pressure. But these fainting spells were something new. Vic knew he was the cause, knew it, and hated knowing, and began hating Helen for making him aware.
Vic? She's been here, hasn't she?
Who?
Dina Trowbridge. I saw her car moving off as I parked.
She came to say hi. Nothing wrong with that.
How often does she come here? Whenever I'm out of the house?
No, not every time.
Vic, how could you?
And not always,
Vic,
Nita.
I think I'm going to faint.
No, Helen, you're not. Take a grip on yourself. Go and lie down.
You don't care. You got no feelings for anyone but yourself.
You and your spells. They bore me, do you understand? There is nothing wrong with you. Nothing at all.
When she realized that her spells elicited only displeasure, she controlled them. But there were other ways of disciplining him.
Helen!
What is it?
I want a beer.
Fetch it yourself. It's in the fridge.
Fetch it yourself. You know, she's in the basement, of course, at her everlasting washing. Okay, I will fetch it. I wish she does what I ask. Puts things in the same place. Beer in front. It's not in front. She's put some damn bowl there. Helen! Where'd you hide the beer?
I didn't hide it. I simply forgot that there was a crock of soup in front of that door. I'm sorry.
You know how much I depend on everything being in the same place. Is that asking too much?
No, of course not. But remember that both of us have to adjust to your being as you are. I have to learn right along with you.
All right, all right. Don't get one of your spells over a can of beer. Calm down. It's not that important.
Where are you going?
Back to the living room. At least you haven't moved the furniture.
But don't you want some beer?
No, I'm out of the mood.
Well, before I go back to the basement, can I get you anything?
No. Look, Helen, I think I'm getting around well enough now to begin some professional training.
What do you mean?
Well, I can't spend the rest of my life sitting in the house.
If you want to get out, I'll go with you.
There will be times, you realize, when I prefer to be alone.
You don't mean alone, do you? You mean without me.
I dislike being smothered. And you are smothering me.
Your other women don't? Didn't, rather?
I haven't lost my looks, Helen.
Oh, you poor dear. You're finished with all that now.
How dared she say that? He'd show her that he didn't need her anymore. He devised a plan. Continue to be a burden, and then offer her freedom and a nice little settlement. He would keep her so busy waiting on him that she'd soon be pushed to the limit of her endurance. Then he would regretfully bid her farewell. His plan worked well, better than he'd imagined. After a week or so of constant calls, constant pathetic requests for help, he thought the time had come to speak out.
Helen, I'm sorry. You've been running your legs off for me this last week, and I don't seem to be getting any better at helping myself.
It does seem that I've had more to do for you than usual.
I've been thinking, I don't want to be a permanent burden on you. It's not fair to you. You've got your health to think of.
What are you driving at?
I'm prepared to give you your freedom.
You fool! If I chose to press matters, your past infidelities, a lawyer could strip you of nearly everything. Just be careful, Vic, and be glad I'm charitable.
At dinner that evening, she acted as if their conversation had never taken place. Her cloying attentiveness reached out and wrapped tentacles around him so tightly he could hardly swallow his food. Later that night...
There's only one solution. Kill or be killed. Of course, it's got to look like accidental death. Fall down the basement stairs. An electric heater in the back. Yeah. But how can I contrive a thing like that?
And then it came to him, staggering in its simplicity, in its perfection.
Everyone knows about these spells of hers. How fastidious she is. Forever washing things, scrubbing away that old sink. For her to be bending over the sink, slump forward and drown. What's unlikely about that? It's perfect.
He had to reconnoiter the basement stairs, first of all. Everything had to be planned to the last detail. Her beauty parlor appointment would take at least 2 hours.
I'm at the top of the stairs. They're steeper than I thought. At least there's a handrail. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 12 steps down. How many over the sink? I hope there's nothing in the way. 5, 6. There's the sink. Perfect. 12 down, 6 along. And I'll hear the water in the sink, of course.
It'll be easy. Nevertheless, he did 5 more practice runs that morning while Helen was at the beauty parlor. On the 5th try...
Who's that?
Mr. Risden, are you there?
Mrs. Cooley. Can't let her find me halfway down here. Everyone knows I never go down to the basement.
Mr. Risden, may I come in?
Just a moment. Keep quiet. Listen to Larry, hear me.
Mr. Risden, are you all right?
I'm fine, Mrs. Cooley. Interfering woman.
Hello there.
Yes, Mrs. Cooley?
May I come in?
Of course.
I saw your wife drive away, you see, so I wondered if there was any little thing I could do for you. Make you some coffee or get you a beer.
Oh, that's kind of you. I'm just fine.
Oh, my. Your hands are all dusty. Where have you been?
Yeah. Dusty?
All over dust. On your trousers, too.
Oh, yeah, well, I was trying to find something in my closet.
My, and your wife's such a good house cleaner, isn't she?
Yeah, I guess I've given her a lot of extra work lately. Something had to suffer.
What were you looking for? Maybe I can find it for
no,
you.
No, don't trouble.
Oh, it's no trouble.
There's no need. It was nothing important.
Dust? He hadn't taken that into account, had he? He'd never imagined that Helen would let dust accumulate in her spotless house. He'd have to take care that he changed his clothes after he'd... well, afterwards. He got rid of Mrs. Cooley and sat in the living room thinking of his future. A small apartment somewhere, he decided, in a smart area, naturally, but with a valet to look after him.
And freedom to do as I please. No smothering. No wife who doesn't want me. But won't let me go.
Hello, darling.
Hi, darling. You smell good.
Armand's done a good job on me, though I say it myself.
That beauty routine of yours is kind of a waste, wouldn't you think? Well, at least for me it is.
I still have my pride, but that's hard for you to understand, I'm sure. What have you been doing?
Sitting here. Mrs. Cooley looked in.
Oh, that was kind, wasn't it?
Mary, she heard you drive off and wondered if there was anything she could do for me.
I'm sorry, it was only Mrs. Cooley. I'm not Nita Trowbridge, for
now, listen, Helen.
I saw her downtown.
Oh, yeah?
With a man. She looked very happy.
I'm delighted to hear it.
Don't tell me you've finished with Nita.
There are others.
For you? Don't make me laugh. There's only me, darling, and don't you ever forget it.
I don't.
I'll always be here to look after you.
Always?
Always.
That made him want to smile, but he controlled his reaction, aware that she was probably watching him closely. She'd done that before the accident. There was no reason to think she didn't still. But really, that word, always, if only she knew what he'd planned for her. On Wednesday of the following week, he sat waiting in the kitchen while she finished the dishes. He'd had several more rehearsals over the previous days, and he found that not only could he negotiate the steps down, 12 of them, and the steps to the sink, 6 of them, without any difficulty, but that he could do so silently. He was ready.
Well, that's that. Would you like some more coffee, Vic?
No, thanks.
Are you warm enough with only that short sleeve shirt on?
Warm enough? Of course.
Okay. Well, I got some things to do in the basement.
Of course you do.
What does that mean?
You're forever doing things down there.
Well, I like to keep things looking nice.
Yeah, sure.
Call me if you need anything, won't you?
I'll manage.
You can't manage without me, Vic. And don't you forget it.
I'll soon manage without you, Helen, my sweet. Very soon.
He put on sneakers that morning. He didn't want her to have any warning of his approach. And the short-sleeved shirt, of course, because he didn't want water all over his clothes. He waited and heard her running the water in the sink.
Okay. It's now or never. Here goes. Kitchen doorway. Door to the basement. Open, of course. 12 steps down. No noise. I'll wash and dry my hands afterwards so there won't be any dust. 10. 11. 12. At the bottom. Now 6 steps over to her. 3, 4, 5, 6. Struggle, Helen. Don't make it harder for yourself. Down into the water. Down.
It's kill or be killed. I can't have you ruining my life, you see. Not anymore. No sound. She may be shamming. I've done it.
He held her under for a little longer just to make sure, then let go slowly. She remained doubled over the sink. He was trembling as he made his way back up the kitchen. He dried his bare arms on paper toweling.
No water on me anywhere. No. Happened so neatly. No thrashing about. And it was only my forearms that actually got wet. Good. Now I call Mrs. Cooley.
Mrs. Cooley, I'm so sorry to call you like this.
Is something wrong?
I don't know. It's Helen, you see.
Oh, yes.
She went down into the basement to do some washing, and I called out to her, but she doesn't answer. Well, you know how she has these little spells, and I thought perhaps that...
Mr. Risden, don't say another word. I'll go straight to your basement and take a look.
Well, Mrs. Cooley?
It's horrible. But don't you worry. I'll call the police.
Police? Should I come down?
No, you stay up there, Mr. Wisdom. You'd never manage those stairs. I'll call the police.
Okay, Mr. Wisdom. I've been down there. Your wife's dead, of course.
Dead?
Tell me what happened.
She went down to the basement. She spent a lot of time washing things down there. She had these fainting spells, high blood pressure, had them for years. I called her, and when there wasn't any answer, I got worried and called the neighbor.
The neighbor?
Well, you see, I'm fine in this part of the house, but of course, I don't go down those basement stairs. I wanted to after my accident. I hated being unable to go places. But Helen refused even to let me try.
And you say Mrs. Risden went down to do some washing?
Yeah. When she didn't answer me, I knew something was wrong. Helen always listened out for me in case I needed anything, you know.
And at no time did you attempt to go to the basement?
Well, of course not.
I see. Please listen carefully while I read you your rights.
My rights? But that means you're... You don't think that I... Officer, what are you saying?
That, unfortunately for you, your wife picked the wrong day to do her dying.
How dare you say such a thing about my wife's death?
I'll explain. Your wife was dyeing curtains today. D-Y-E-I-N-G. And the same color of dye is still on your arms, almost up to your elbows. Shall we go now, Mr. Risden?
You have been listening to Drama International. Join us again next week at the same time for more Drama International.